so that there's no misunderstanding, I've introduced the Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein. Let's first find out what that means. I was in this yeshiva for 2.5 years. I left in 1966, and until, I could be off by a year, it could be I'm making a mistake, until about 1980, either 80 or 81, he was nifter in 86. He was very accessible. We used to go to Chol HaMoed Pesach, we'd always stop off. When we went to New York to visit relatives, we'd always stop off at the east side of Chol HaMoed to visit. The last time I saw the Rishiva Zatzal was about 2 or 3 months before he passed away. It was on Matzei Shabbos. I went up to bring my daughter as a kala, so we went up to get a bracha. And that's the last time I saw him. It was 2 or 3 months before his p'tira. So I'm not trying to present myself as a Talmud Mufak of his. I'm not. But I can just tell you from my personal experiences. The truth is, Rabbi Greenspan is here, so he knows I'm not exaggerating. I didn't want to do this. I'm not a speaker. I'm not a storyteller. But I've refused Rabbi Greenspan so many times. It wasn't nice already. The question, though, is why is it important? What's so important about? It's not a question. Let's just talk about Rav Moshe Feinstein. Why is it so important to talk about any of these Gedolei Yisrael that we've had within the last 50 years? What's or at any time? I have to find it. Please bear with me just 1 second. Here. There was a rub on the Upper West Side of Manhattan from the Gedolei Elyon, and none of you ever heard of him, I'm sure of that. If you did, I'm surprised. It was Chaim Heller. He was a guy in Adir. Rav Soloveitchik knew him from Europe yet. When Rav Chaim Heller was Nifter, Rabbi Soloveitchik said a Hesped. And in the Hesped, now, Chaim Heller was a lot older than Rav Soloveitchik. He said the following. The Rambam, in his Hakdamah to the Mishnah Torah, the very beginning, something you should all read, practically just names. It's the Shalshelus HaKabbalah. How do we get the Torah? The Torah Shabbat Peh. Well, the Torah Shabbat Peh, we know, but how do we get the Torah Shabbat Peh? So much. You got to see now, you know the whole thing. But the Rambam goes all through Tanoim, Amoraim. Just mostly names. He says like this. Shmuel Kibel Me'eli Ubeis Dino. Shmuel HaNavi. Who did he learn Torah Shabbat Peh from? Eli, the Kohen Gadol. V'David, then David, Kibel Mishmuel, and David HaMelech learned Torah from Shmuel. V'Achia HaShiloni, there's a man by the name of Achia HaShiloni, Miyotzei Mitzrayim, you should know, he had been in Mitzrayim, he was a little kid. V'Levi Hoya, and he was a Levi, V'Shama Mimoshe, and he heard Torah Shabbat Peh from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Hoya Katan be made Moshe. And he was a Katan, he was a kid in the days of Moshe. The Hukibel mi David Beis Dino. And he learned also from David. Fake Tagayim Rav Soloveitchik, Rabbi Soloveitchik, here's a question. The Rambam only lists names. That's all there are. Just take the Hakdama and read it through. I mean, here again, a little fact thrown in, but 95% just names. Why is he telling us about Achia HaShiloni? He was a kid in time of Moshe. Well, he had to be, in other words, about 400 or 500 years old. Yeah, but who cares? It's irrelevant. His age was an irrelevant issue. The issue is how was the Mesorah, our tradition, passed down? So Soloveitchik said, to tell you a very important, the Rambam is telling the Mesorah something important. Okay? Majorly important that just as you, if God forbid, a person needs an operation, wouldn't go to a surgeon that learned the surgery from a textbook only and never saw an operation being performed. He knows it. He can tell you every single name, everything you want. If you never saw it, how do you know what to do? So you go, you become an intern, whatever the resident, an intern, and you see how it's done. You wouldn't let your son be mauled by a male that only learned the Hilchos Milah from a Shulchan Aruch, but never saw it being perfect in practice. Same thing with Torah. You have to. How did they do it? How did the How did they do it? That's what's important to know about whether you're Moshe Feinstein, whether you're Rabbi Kotler, whether you're the Chazon Ish, whoever it is. So I'm a soul, whoever. I'm not meaning to leave any names out. I'm just using examples. That's, in my opinion, why it's important to know this. It's very difficult for me to talk about the Moshe Feinstein, and I'll tell you why. Because as much as I like the Art School book, I really do. In fact, I'm going to brag. It's not nice, but I'm not the only one, so I can brag. Rabbi Finkelman interviewed me for a couple hours. But it's not bragging, because he did about 25 other people also. So I like the book. The problem, though, in my opinion, is with any book, about any government, we tend to make them mythological figures. They weren't human. They were angels flying around. They never made a mistake. They never did anything wrong. And the danger in that is that the younger generation, if you tell your child, work hard, you'll be a God, you'll be Israel, he'll say, what are you talking about? I'll use Rav Moshe Feinstein, but I mean, pick your favorite Godel and whoever it is. When he was 9 years old, he knew, by the time he was 12, he knew Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, Baba Pet. That's what the book says, which is probably true. In fact, he once told Dover that, it's in the book, but I mean, he said it over once, that when there was a meeting of Rabbanim in his father's house, and he happened to walk in, and the Rabbanim stood up for him, because they knew what he knew. And he remembered his father got very angry and hollered at them. So you're going to make my son to a Baal Geyser. You're going to make him to a haughty person. Don't do that. We have to know they're human. Okay, let's see who we're talking about. Let's start with Aleph. Okay? There was a man in Europe by the name of Yitzhak Yechiel Davidovich. This Rabbi Davidovich, I had three daughters. He may have had more children. I only know of three daughters. Each one of the three daughters did an unbelievably good shidduch. One daughter married a man by the name of Rebellion Feinstein is much fine, we're not related. Why they had the same name? There were no relations. I mean, less maybe a million generations before, but they were not related. He's usually referred to as Rebellion Prisoner, because later on he became a rebel. Prison, so he's called Rebellion Prisoner. His name is Rebellion Feinstein. That was one son. He had another son-in-law. I'm not going to order. I'm skipping. The third son-in-law was a man by the name of Yaakov Kantorovich. Yaakov Kantorovich was a rabbi in New York. So if you up, he was a rabbi in Trenton, New Jersey in the 40s. He had a big community. He was a guy in Ireland. He was supposed to say a shir in Tarvadas also, but he had an accident. He got hurt. He never recovered. So that was the third son-in-law. The second son-in-law was a man by the name of David Feinstein. Okay? So those three were brothers-in-law. By the way, just as a matter of interest, Rebellion Feinstein had a daughter. After he had a daughter, I believe her name was Lipsha. I believe so. And Lipsha married a man by the name of Moshe Soloveitchik, who was the father of Yosef Ben Soloveitchik. So it means that Lipsha Feinstein Soloveitchik and Moshe Feinstein were first cousins. Rabbi Feinstein and Rabbi Soloveitchik were whatever, second cousins, first cousins, once removed, whatever it is. And they, by the way, they were very close. Every time Rabbi Feinstein was in the hospital of Soloveitchik, would call me every single day. So I was told by the family that's what I was told. Okay. How do I describe a person who is a human being that reached a level that it's difficult to understand? So I'm going to be a little disjointed. It's very, very difficult. I'm not used to talking about these things. It's difficult. So if it's a little disjointed, no. So I won't get paid. I mean, what can we do? I want to read two things, very short. Don't let the sparm get you nervous. It's more for the show. Okay. cage up by Feinstein. This is in print, okay? It's a Chassidus Rebbe. And he said like this. There's a shul, it's certainly not his shul, but there's a shul that in front, by the architect had two flags, an Israeli flag on one side and an American flag on the other side. The Chassidus was more upset by the Israeli flag, But that's not, but his question was, is it mutter to have flags out there? Here again, it's in our fine first paper, Simon Menvov, if anybody's interested. And he goes through the whole thing. He says, you know, something, the truth of the Dover is that they don't belong there. A flag doesn't belong up there. Here, one other reasoning and all that. Go through the truth, it's not for right now. It doesn't belong there, it's not the place. And he should tell you, you should know something, you should get rid of it. But, okay, the word but, you know, the Avera of the Meraglim, you know, all know about the Meraglim and the Pashas Lach. What was their Avera?
Ephes.
Lechot to Elb Ephes. They did one mistake, they said one word wrong. If I tell you, you know, you look good today, but, now you're going to get an insult. I mean, you realize that. So, like this, he says, but, and let's get rid of them. However, the im, hoya koach belo machlokas, if you have the ability without causing any argument, la'akar, kol inyan hadegel, get rid of it. Get rid of it if you can. Avol chas v'sholom la'asos machlokas, chas v'sholom to make a fight over. Cholila. Yeah, in other words, and I can tell you from stories, not from the book, but just from when I was there. Machlokas is the worst thing in the world. You keep away from machlokas. Be careful. You don't want machlokas. Chas v'sholom. I mean, obviously, we're talking about ikrei hadas. We're not talking about, doing inside the big avera. Okay? Next. We all know that when your wives bench licht, when they light the candles Friday, they are mekabel Shabbos. They're extenuating circumstances, they're exceptions. Okay, fine, back, fine. But in normal, that's what it is. But you are not mekabel Shabbos. Unless you want to, obviously, but normally you're not. So that means your wife benches licht, and if you want, you can drive to Shabbos. You can do anything you want. Not Shabbos people. It's assuming you can do it in the right time. So someone came along. We always have the mitzvah patrol. The mitzvah patrol came along. A man by the name of Rav Moshe Metzger. I have no idea what it is. It's a rabbi. It wasn't a rabbi. I have no idea what it is. It's not Lashon Hara. The name is printed. Came and he berated Rabbi Feinstein. He said that people see you going in the car. He would get a ride from his apartment, 455 FDR Drive, to the Yeshiva Treasurer's Line, is a, we'll say like from, it's a little bit shorter, let's say you want to walk from here to the Yeshiva Philadelphia. It's probably a little bit shorter, but not by much. It's a long walk. So, maybe I'm exaggerating, it's a long walk. So he would have someone would be waiting, and drive him to the yeshiva. So he said, people see that, and they think that you're being mechal Shabbos. Ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And not only that, to have the nerve to say it. She says like this, how's he start off? He says like this, Nenesi ma'od, I have a lot of pleasure, asher malas kvodo. That's a very fancy way of addressing someone. It's just a title of honor. Nizdareis l'kai mitzvahs tochoch l'fidato. I'm happy that you're giving me mussar. You think, okay? V'chas v'sholom li l'hakpi b'zeh. Don't think for a second, chalil, that I'm upset. Not at all. And not only that, I want to tell you something. V'im yitzah Hashem. B'lo neder, I'm not promising, lo esa od mishas hadlokas haneres b'kar. I will no longer go in a car after hadlokas haneres. Even though it's not the slightest Isser, Half long is from Maris Ayin. It's not even Maris Ayin. It's not even misleading. There's nothing at all wrong. But what he called. And he ends off, he signs it, Yedido Hamavarko. He always talks in the third person. That's a European way of doing it. You don't say Yedido. You say Yedido, his friend. It's a third person. It's a classical way of writing. Yedido Hamavarko b'schus mitzvah satovrocho. Okay, I'm giving you, because you're mekayim the mitzvah tochacha. Okay, no, that tells us something about him. One more thing before I get down to story time. Story time to call us. Let's see. Okay, without getting involved in the details, because I really don't want to, there was, and I was a bach in yeshiva then, and you wouldn't believe some of the things that were going on. You'd say I'm exaggerating, it's terrible. There was a certain psak, tshuva, that Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote, that there were certain factions that disagreed with it, which is nothing wrong. If any of you can get a hold of the first chelik of the Igros Moshe, the very first one, read the introduction, Hakdam, he even says, number one, who am I to paskin for you? Who gives me a right? He said, what's the problem? Everything I'm saying, I wrote my reasons. Look it up. If you come to a different conclusion, fine. No problem. He had no problem with that. It was, the disagreement was done in a rather, very not nice way. I don't want to go into details. It's a very sad thing. So someone, a certain Rav, by the name of Rav Moshe Chaim Ephraim Bloch, I have no idea what it is. Here again, it's not Lashon Hara, the names of it written in the Sefer. I have no idea what it is. Wrote a scathing letter to him about how much damage he was doing by the psak. He wrote very, very strongly. Well, I mean, most people, the reaction would be that, they wouldn't be very happy. He writes like this: V'nikar mimichtavei katra. It appears from what you wrote to me, the way you wrote shahayu sovor, that you think sheyili kpeid al v'dimat ha'chocha shalom. You think I've kpeid. You think I'm upset by what you by what you wrote to me. Vani adrab, the exact opposite. Ani nirgash mizay. I'm touched by it. Shani roa shanitzim anashim bali ruach. That there are people that are strong-willed people, shenim yireim, falonim spayishim alorim etel chocha, that are not embarrassed to give mussar. Thank you very much. Avol em eshem etvar shemim. Finally, he goes, it's a long truth that he shows why he feels that person made a mistake. Okay. There was someone who wrote a book called Mana Ligros. What he did was he took the Igros Moshe, whichever volumes were at that time, and he wrote against each one of the tumas. And he wrote it in a very not a polite way. Okay, it was a scandal when it came out. I mean, you can't get a copy of it. It doesn't exist. I mean, I happen to have one I found once. I didn't buy it. It was my family in Seamus. Someone put it in Seamus. The author never had a terrible end. His end was terrible. Anyway, it was printed. It's amazing. I don't know how the publisher printed it. I really don't know. Anyway, about a year, 2 years later, that the one who wrote it needed a letter for some purpose. I don't know what it was for. He needed a letter. He came into the base medrash Tzeres Yerushalayim and Rabbi Feinstein gave him a letter. I mean, I didn't see the letter, but the people that read the letter, it was a very, very nice letter. So without mentioning names, a certain person asked him, how can you do that? After the bizarreness, he wrote. So Rabbi Feinstein's answer, he looked him in the face. I mean, innocently, he said, Shana Ribbon Gangan Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur's off already. We had Yom Kippur. You know, what's Yom Kippur? He asked for Mechila. If I wasn't Mechilim, there goes Yom Kippur. I mean, I wasted a day. I mean, the whole idea is it's finished. Like, he meant it. I shouldn't give the letter. Rabbi Feinstein was very famous for writing letters. He let letters of recommendation for anything. You were collecting, your daughter's getting married, you need money. Achnosa's colleague wrote a letter. I don't think he ever checked it. Is it true or not true? He had a Talmud, his Talmud Mufik. I mean, it was a man named Rav Nissen Alpert. Rav Nissen Alpert was a Nebuch. He died in his 50s. He had lung cancer. He was a Rebbe in Tzvi Yisrael, the Sofi Yomov, he was a Rosh Kail in YU, and he was also a Rav in the Aguda Far Rockaway. He made a set of hesped for his Rebbe. Now, you have to understand his relationship. His father, Albert's father, was a Rav, a New York Pesha Rav in the Lower East Side. I mean, small shul. In the last years of his life, he was very sick. And he was bedridden. And Rabbi Feinstein, here he was 12, Rabbi Alpert tells it over, he's 12 years old. I don't know. Rabbi Feinstein noticed he wasn't around the yeshiva. Exactly how he noticed that, I can't tell you, but he noticed he wasn't there. He had his Rebbetzin go to Rebbetzin Alpert, Rabbi Alpert's mother. Where's your son? A week, 2 weeks. He said, we got a letter from the yeshiva. We haven't paid Sefar Lima, we can't pay tuition, we don't have it. We just barely have what to eat. So they said he can't come back. The next morning there was a knock at the door. Rabbi Feinstein himself was there. He said, where's Nissen? Took Nissen by the hand. He took him to yeshiva. He never had a problem again. That was Rabbi Feinstein. He had a Talmud, a famous one. He was in Memphis now, Rav Nota Greenblatt. Rav Nota Greenblatt, the man in his 80s. He's in America, maybe not in the world, but certainly in America, that's safe to say, the biggest expert in Gittin and Gerus. All the problematic Gittin, all the problematic Gerus and the Shilas, most of the time go to him. He told over the following story when he was a Bach in Yeshiva, which had been in the late 1940s, early 1950s, it had to have been. He said like this. Now you see, it's hard to picture because your picture of yeshiva is not a picture of Teres Yerushalayim. Teres Yerushalayim is the Lower East Side of Manhattan, on East Broadway, which today is mostly Chinatown, but at that time it was all Jewish, mostly Jewish. And people would come in and out. In the middle of Seder, you would have, I don't know if it's not a nice word to use, not these snorers, I don't know if they were Jewish, weren't Jewish. They come in, they'll just walk up and down the Dava, the Dava. Some of them maybe weren't even Jewish, but they learned the word the Dava. Don't laugh. I have a question on something. So it's common. And the doors, the basement, even though a lot of it has been repaired, were very, very big, old doors, very creaky. So you walked in, but someone walked in, you couldn't tiptoe in. Rabbi Feinstein sat, in other words, here's the door to the base matters. He sat where the sink is, like facing it. And everyone's learned facing that way. They hear the door, they turn around, a bag lady. You know, you've seen it, dressed like a bag lady, with bags, pekulach. You know, obviously, you can just walk into the base matters, not the green plot. I'm sure Rabbi Zephyr knows, is familiar with Rabbi Greenblatt. Enough to know that he doesn't exaggerate. In fact, if anything, he plays it down. He's one of those very, he doesn't have a good sense of humor. But he tells it over. Take it for what it's worth. He walks into the basement, just walks straight in front of Rabbi Feinstein's desk. He had a big desk in the basement with a telephone on it. And if you want to get a hold of him, you call the office. The office connects him, phone ring in the basement. I sat nearby. A lot of the things I know because I overheard. I didn't learn too much, but I heard a lot. She walked in and she plots herself down. everyone's staring. And Rabbi Feinstein was always writing. Would you see how many volumes of Dibros Moshe are there? The Art Scroll has it. If you get a hold of the Art Scroll catalog, they sell it. What, 14 volumes? 15? Something. I forgot the exact number. Plus, we have 9 volumes of Tshuvas. Okay, some of them were written, put together after Lachar Ptiras, after he passed away. But these are mainly his things. And the family tells me they have a lot more. He was always writing. In fact, he was once in the hospital. I didn't know for why I was a bucher. And someone had to go, they had to go pick him up. So they asked me if I would come with. That's why he had someone in the car. So he comes to the car, and he said to me, then to the driver, he was laughing. He said, well, obviously he had an infection on his arm. How did he get the infection? He said, when he writes, I'm a lefty, he says, you have to bear with me. And he would write, it was like this. I mean, that's how he wrote his and by rubbing it, it got infected. And he was laughing. He said, the doctor said I shouldn't write for a while. He said, but I think better when I write. I have to. That's how I think. He's always writing. She, in front of the desk, there was a little bench. So if you came to him, you'd ask him whatever you wanted to ask him. If he sees it, if it's just a one or two word answer, fine. Otherwise, in motion like this, he'd sit down. And fine. She didn't ask questions. She came, sat down, put down a pekloch, and she started talking. I am telling you, this is, take my word for it, I'm not exaggerating. I'm just telling you what Greenblatt said. I mean, I wasn't there. Close to 2 hours. So after a while, the Bachram decided, we've got to do something, we've got to get rid of her. So Rabbi Greenblatt came up with an idea. He's going to come, he asked the Rosh Yeshiva Shiloh, he'll come in from the side. So Rabbi Feinstein will have to turn. In the meantime, so the Bachram will come. And I don't know how we'll get her away. I don't know how we'll get her away. He came over, Rabbi Feinstein looked real fast, answered something, turned around, and went back. He used to sit, it was either this finger or this, I don't remember which one. He used to sit with his finger like this. Now, it may have been the pink. I remember the finger. That's how he'd sit. And just staring. Didn't say anything. After what Rabbi Greenblatt says, Kamat Seishtun, almost 2 hours, she stood up, took a pechach, and walked out. Rabbi Feinstein was a very easy person to talk to. He was, in my opinion, the ideal Zayde. So Bachman went over and asked him, what are you talking? A man whose time was so valuable, so precious. Kulahai. Let me know when my time is up. A few minutes. He said like this. And I'll say it over the way he was told to me, and then I'll translate it. See, it's doch a fatzar to Freud. She's a woman with lots of troubles. She's got the sacht sars in Lebanon. She has a lot of problems in life. Can gel tobach nish to get? I have no money to give her. At least let me listen to her. She's a woman with sars. I can't give her money. I haven't paid no money. What should I do? But at least I can listen to her. That was the man whose time was so powerful. Rabbi Alpert in his Hesped said, you always hear the expression chesed ve'emes. You always hear that expression. Why not emes ve'chesed? Why chesed ve'emes? He said that the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal's philosophy in life was this. He was trying to explain why he gave out so many letters to whoever it was. He said, if a person comes to you and you start looking for the emes, the truth, you start analyzing, you'll never do a chesed. You know, I don't know if you really need that letter. You don't really, you know. Once you're looking for the truth, you'll never do it. Chesed, don't worry. Unless it's obvious. You know, there's times where it's obvious that there's a problem. Don't think that Rabbi Feinstein couldn't be tough. Rabbi Feinstein could be tough. I'll never forget. I wish I learned as much as I listened to him. It's like where Rabbi Greenspan is sitting. Rabbi Feinstein was over here, my chavrus and I, my chavrus and my shkiyah, that's our son. We heard everything. A young man, a chassidish bacher, came in. I don't know, by looks, if you want to judge by looks, look about 18, 19 years old. He couldn't have been much older. Apparently, he went to, I don't know, he was in camp. I don't know why he came to Rabbi Feinstein. The chassidish, they would go to their own rabbi. I don't know. He claimed that there was a Rabbi Klein back about 50 years ago. I'm sure that none of them were members, they were his old men. He promised to pay me $500. At the end of the year, he only gave me $250. So Rabbi Feinstein said, yeah, he had an appointment. He looked, there was a clock. He looked at the rabbi. He said, Rabbi Klein will come shortly. It's supposed to be whatever time it was. He'll be, it wasn't here yet. And the rabbi finds him with good writing. So the Bacher, here's the conversation. We'll see if you understand what's happening. I'll say it in English. I mean, they're obviously in Yiddish. The boy said, I'm a yosem from my father. No, he didn't have a father. Rabbi Feinstein looked up very seriously and said, I'm a yosem from my father and from my mother. And he went back to writing. And no, it could be tough. The idea behind it, you understand. The Bacher won to win. So he knew Rabbi Feinstein was a softy. So he said, I'm a yosem, I'm a young man, I have no father. So Rabbi Feinstein, who was a rather elderly gentleman then, said, I don't have either parent. Meaning, if you deserve it, you're going to get it. If you don't deserve it, you're not going to get it because you're a yosem. Now, you want tzedakah? That's something else. But you're not coming to me for tzedakah. You're coming for din Torah. Do I not get it? No. Ain't no rachmanis in din. I'm getting messages. I'll have to make it real fast. I'm going to go. I am a kohen. My oldest son was about, I'll say, 9 years old. He started duchening with me. Dr. Kovacs, Bob Kovacs, had a brother that lived on the same block, also their kohanim. He said his father, they come from Hungary, his father in the village he came from, the Rav there, said ketanim shouldn't duchen. I don't know what's the difference. Why shouldn't they duchen? I don't know. It's right before Yom Kippur. I used to always go to Yom Kippur to the yeshiva of Staten Island because Rabbi Feinstein was there. And I took my son with me. So Erev Yom Kippur, right before Kol Nidre, I went over to Rabbi Feinstein. I asked him, is there a ketanim duchen? He said, no. By the way, it's a machlok, it's not halacha. I mean, it depends where you came from in Europe. There are those in Litta, I know Rabban Kotlin like ketanim duchen. It depends, it's a machlok. If you're interested, if you're a kohanim, you're interested, look it up. I'll show you where to look. But Rabbi Feinstein held no. All right. My son, so this is, by that he was like about 11, 12 already. And he was disappointed. So in the morning, got up early before davening, Rabbi Feinstein was there, he sang tilling. So I walked over before davening, in Yom Kippur morning, and I said, my other sons won't talk, and the younger ones, they, but this one started, he said, all right, maybe. So he looked at me, he said, no, we'll have to take a look, what's his name, Shulchan Aruch. So just then, Bacher passed by, so I said, can you bring an Aruch Chaim? So, what he did was, the Bacher brought an Aruch Chaim. He was looking at me, just like this, turning pages. He didn't look down. So he said, why not? It's not Derech Eretz. The Tzibur doesn't want a child up there to give a bracha. They don't want children. It's not a thing for a child. So I said, okay, in shul where they only have two or three kohanim, four or five kohanim, but in yeshiva, the 25, 30 kohanim, my son will stand in the back, the tzibur won't even see him. So he said, no. He says, it's not derech eretz for the kohanim. Kohanim don't want to talk with children. They're adults. Everyone says it's not for children. All right, fine, all right. Life goes on. And obviously, my son didn't know. And fine. Matzah Yom Kippur. Yeah, I mean, you have to see, by Matzah Yom Kippur, Rabbi Feinstein was, he walked out, he was weak. And his room, when he was there, was on the same floor as the base medrash down the hall. There was a big room there that they set up. Had two parts of the room. One was the bedroom, that's where him and the Rebbetzin stayed, like a little office in front. So I was waiting to be picked up. My wife had to pick me up. She went to Barrow Park for Yom Kippur. And then Rabbi Feinstein came out with his Rebbetzin to go back to his side. He saw me staying with my son. He looked at me and said, is Is that your son? Is that the one we're talking to? Yeah. He took him, put his arms around him. He said, please be mindful of me. I cause you. I'll tell you what. You have to cry. He says, I'll tell you something. You'll duchen in the Mokum HaMikdash. And that's a bigger coven than Yeshiva Staten Island. Okay? That's sensitivity. I'll end off since before I get thrown off. I have one complaint about the Art School book, which, as I said, I like it very much. I think it's a wonderful job. I went to Yeshiva with Meir Slaughter, which he sat right in front of me. It's a wonderful job. I have one complaint. There are too many miracle stories. The impression given is that Rabbi Feinstein was a magician, that anybody with any sickness would come. Well, listen, you read it. If any of you have read it, you know, the whole stack of stories there. The father had a son with a bad, and his eye was hurt. Rabbi Feinstein looked at it, and got a little better. Maybe they're true, maybe they're not. I assume if they're tall, I assume they're true. I don't know if they are, they aren't. The impression given is that was why he was so great. He was so great because of what he said to my son. That was more impressive, the stories. And I don't know how many of them are true. Maybe all of them are. Here again, I'm not even hinting. But I'll tell you one story that I know is true. I know. I mean, I can tell you for a fact. I'm not going into details how I know, but I know. I mean, it's 100% true. Now, you don't believe me. That's something else. That, you know, I'm not Maestro Rabbeinu. I don't really, here again, my paycheck will be the same whether you believe me or not. There was a person I went to Yeshiva with, Pinchas Wiener, a fine younger man, a Balchula, a wonderful person. He sat and learned. I mean, a very good head. He sat and learned. He married into a family, an Ungarish family, Hungarian family. Baruch Hashem, a wealthy family, did a very good shidduch. So he did that. He stopped. He was teaching a little bit. He stopped. He moved to Eretz Yisrael. I think he went to Slabodka. I think so. In Eretz Yisrael. He's going back many years ago. So look, that's where he went. But that's irrelevant. He went. He sat money. He was financially. He had no problems. They would come in once a year to America to see family. His family was here. Her family was here. So they would come in. Never, they had no children. Every year, they would come to Rabbi Feinstein and for bracha. No, not every bracha comes true. Which they did, but they don't. That's how good bracha was, not ours. They were married 15 years, and Mrs. Wiener came to see the Rishim by herself. There's a rav in New York, Rabbi Zephyr knows it, Rabbi Bluth, Rabbi Elimelech Bluth, was there. That's how the Rebbe was out. And she came in, speaks to Rashiva, and Rashiva gave her a bracha. She started to cry. She said, I don't want a bracha from Rashiva. It doesn't help. I want you to promise me I'll have a child. So, Rabbi Feinstein said, I can't do that. I wish I could, but I can't. So she started to cry. Rabbi Bluth told me that what he called. He started to calm her down. The rabbi's the one that was supposed to do. I mean, what should he do? Rabbi Bluth was looking at her. So finally, look up. Rabbi Feinstein said, "Lozi vein, and I'm also as good as vein. Let her cry. It's sometimes good to cry. Get out of your system. Lozi vein." And he starts going like this with his fingers. Like this, he says, "Listen. I can't promise you a child. I don't have that kaif. I can daven with you, I give you a bracha. I can't promise it. I don't have that kaif. However, you have emunas chachamim. You think I can. You think, because you think I'm some great Talmud Chacham, that I can do it. In the zechus of your emunas chachamim, not because of my bracha, but in the zechus of your emunas chachamim, the Rebbeinu Shlomo will give you a child." She was still crying. She said, "Favos feinst, why are you crying? It's a Kenneth sign far Chanukah side. It can't be before Chanukah." That's why he was going his fingers. Not at Chanukah time, she had a daughter. One of my daughters-in-law, when she was in seminary, BJJ, they had to do their Chesed project. So she went, apparently, I think they have to do it. This one was born, it wasn't well, she had some problems, but they had other children also. What do you call it? Now you say, so how do I know Rabbi Bluth is telling the truth? Well, if you know Rabbi Bluth, you know he's telling the truth. But what happened was that same day, he called the yeshiva and he told guys, you're just what happened with Wiener's wife. Okay? And a friend of mine even said, well, what happens at Hanukkah time if she doesn't have a child? So Bluth said, I don't want to be around. Well, she that's how I know. In other words, it was the same day. He told everyone what happened. And what do you call it? Nebuch, the Pinchas Wiener was nifter a short time. They had cancer. And then he died. But what do you call it? That's what I mean by, it's true. I can tell you, I'm sure the other stories are true also. But my point is, his greatness was not the fact that he can give a bracha and come true or not come true. His greatness was that he can have in his mind, Matzah Yom Kippur, the whole day of Yom Kippur, and he can see that he could barely walk to get out there, to see a kid and to worry about that. And if you'll give me a minute, I'll talk just one more. One. You started. I told you. I didn't want to do it. Do you have a tape recorder? Can I?
Sure.
It's a regular for an old fashioned.
Can I have a tape recorder?
Don't get scared. Just wait for a second. Without his knowledge, someone put a tape recorder in his tender. They taped him davening. So you'll hear it just a minute. You'll hear a minute that's Kriyas Shema. I'm not going to play the whole thing. I don't think you want to sit here for that amount of time. But it should be on the first. It should be. I think it sets that around. 1 year. Don't turn. Stop. Sorry. 1 year, Rosh Hashanah worked out the same as this coming one, Thursday, Friday, Sunday, Sunday. So I came to New York after shopping. So I stopped on the east side and went to see the Rosh Hashanah. Anyway, it was mobbed. Remember, Mincha was at 1:30 in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. So I'm Gedalia. The world was there. I mean, you can't imagine. It was literally mob. I wanted to go get a bracha from the Rosh Hashanah. And ended up, I was able to get through the mob, but I didn't think I would do it. Anyway, I don't know. The time that I was in Tiferes Yerushalayim, I don't know why. They never had a kid lane. I have no idea why. I mean, I don't know if it was done on purpose, or maybe there's just no kid in the lane. I do not know. That's the reality. That time, there was a kid. I have no idea. The most 14, 15, maybe, I don't know if he's that. Just by mitzvah, maybe he's 14, he laned. He made so many mistakes that by Levi, the Shiva couldn't move. He called Nem and Andrew, you have to get another Balkari. And he made them start from the beginning over again. All right. How? You want to talk about miracles? Here's a real miracle. I made it up to his desk. So now you know miracles exist. I made up after davening, I was able to. I'm sure I wasn't the most polite in the world, but I got there. I was sitting right in front of the desk, and he was distraught. The Rosh Hashanah was mamish distraught. I never saw him like that. Check, Avu's the kid. Where's the kid? So nobody. I have no idea who the kid was, by the way. I don't think anybody else knew either. I don't know what it was. Whatever the case is. No one could find him. They couldn't find him. I don't know. Whatever. You couldn't talk to him. People are putting out their hands. He just finally, someone came and brought the kid. Well, how would you feel if you were adopted? How would you think the kid felt? I mean, come on. Use your imagination. Right? You don't have to be a great psychologist to figure it out. He had tears. I mean, I wasn't crying hysterically. He had tears. Rabbi Feinstein was very short. The kid was, and I'm very tall, but a little bit taller than him. Put his arm down. I'll tell you the end. If I would have realized that reaction, I would have gone up to lane. I didn't lane through my own bar mitzvah. I don't know, my patma pashta. I mean, I barely got through my haftarah. I would have done it. It's worth the embarrassment. Put his arm down. He wipes his face. I'm standing right there. It's not from the book. I was there. He said, you've had to be mad for me. Please be mad for me. I embarrassed him. But what can I do? I had no choice. I had no choice. They weren't being yet to Christ. What could I do? I didn't know what to do. I didn't know. Please be my kid. I don't think I understood it. So somebody was standing there. somebody stand there and say, tell him, just shake your head, yes, yes, just say yes to the kid. We'll tell you when. Somebody said, I'll tell you later what he said, just say yes. That's what happened. I'm not exaggerating. Whoever it was, I don't remember who it was. Some man was standing there. He said, I'll tell you afterwards. I'll tell you what he said. Just shake it. The kid says, yeah. He turns around to go. And as he's walking away, he finds him, goes around the desk, gets a hold of him again. It was right next to me. He said, after the Yom Tov, please come back. You'll lane again. And you should know that I one time lane, and I made a lot of mistakes also. You get used to it. You get used to it. Oh, please come back. Then please, are you mad? Are you mad? Like he was distraught. He saw mistakes. He was distraught. He was like, that was how Graham Ramesh defines it. Just for a second, if you're interested, somebody, it wasn't the nicest thing in the world to do, but somebody went ahead and put it in his stender. He would come once a week to the Staten Island, and there he had a stender. On the east side, he had a desk, and he put it in there. And it's a conglomeration. It must have been there a few different times. It's part of the Hallel, part of the Kabbalah. But if you want to hear just what it sounded like, it's clear.
Thank you, Rabbi Gold. Thank you very much for those inspiring words, and to cap it off with those words that you could definitely feel how Rav Moshe was really saying a Shema. You could really feel it inside.